Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Tony Nixon and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent? And can I ask members of the public not to refrain or to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Lawns Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording of this meeting will be put on the council website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. First item is minutes.
None for signing, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any apologies?
Yes, apologies received from Councillor McEwen, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Powell.
Declaration of interests. Any members have any interest or lobbying? Delegated applications.
As published on the Council's website, Mr. Chairman.
So we move on to the planning applications now. The first one is 22/3661/HOU.
Thank you, Chairman. So, notwithstanding the officer's report, I just want to clarify the description for the first application. On the proposed development at the top of page 5, where it describes the proposed development, it would more accurately read that the application is for the part demolition and further extension of an earlier single-storey extension and a provision of an area of decking steps, whereas the report does refer to the entire...
Could you speak up, please? We can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry. At the top of page 5, the officer's report refers to the application as being for the demolition of the existing orangery extension and replacement with the new orangery extension. It would more accurately be described as the part demolition and further extension of an earlier extension. The additional extension would comprise an additional 8.9 square metres of floor space. The decking that's proposed would extend to an area of approximately 120 square metres to the southeast and approximately 50 square metres to the northeast. Onto the presentation on your screens, the plan and the aerial view show the location of the site at the northeast of Alton. And the photo plan shows the location of the following six photographs taken from the south-southeast of the dwelling. The first five show the main dwelling with the existing extension on the left-hand side. And the decking would be in the foreground and on the right-hand side of this photograph. The extension is on the left-hand side of that elevation, and again, and the sixth photograph shows the extension from a different angle in the foreground. The recommendation is to approve subject to the conditions listed within the agenda.
We don't have any member of the public speaking.
Not for this one, Mr. Chairman, no.
Do you wish to speak, Councillor James, as a ward member?
Could I just initially refer you to page 11, please? Neighbours, 5 consulted, no representations received. Was this based on the first application or the subsequently amended application?
I believe it's based on the application before you, the reference number 36661. There would have been five neighbours consulted initially, but given letters sent out.
So for the amended plans, were letters sent out?
They would have been consulted again, yes.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks very much indeed. Right, could I just ask you to look at the reason for calling the application in, and specifically we'll go through some of the issues that we have. Firstly, the application has been amended since the initial subsequent removing areas of decking, which is good news. I'll refer you to page 7. And it says there's removal of more traditional style mouldings. Given the age of the property, I would have thought that the traditional moulding should have been retained and not removed. And the next paragraph down is the resulting harm. And the definition of harm is somewhat ambiguous as to whether this application actually does harm the local area. To Conservation Officer's report. If you look at the report on the 12th of the 7th, right, it's asking for conditions to be attached to this, which I think is good news. I think my major concern is this is an application for amending a building which is in the green belt. I have reservations about any building being amended in the green belt. Given that this also is described as, I think it says, a historic building, but no. It hasn't been listed as such, but it is of historic interest. And therefore, if it's of historic interest, why are we putting new extensions onto what is a historic building? I've been asked, therefore, for members of the committee to look at this and come to their conclusions.
Thank you, Councillor Jennings. Does anyone wish to speak? No. Councillor Phillips.
Can I ask, was the parish council spoken to about the changes in the plans, considering that they objected initially?
I understand so, yes, but there's no representation from them following that.
But they were contacted.
I understand so, yes.
Through you, Chairman. Do you think the non-response is perhaps down to the lack of meetings? I mean, if the changes were made quite recently, would they perhaps... No, amendments 2036. Okay, so they've got no objection then?
They've not provided any comment.
Councillor Jones.
Just a point, it says five neighbours consulted. These are the five houses on the front opposite as you go into the place.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I can find that out for you if they would need for a couple of minutes.
A big neighbourhood could be anybody.
Doesn't anyone else have any comments to make? Councillor Spencer?
I presume the amendments made that the Conservation Officer has no further issues with have been made to make it look more contemporary, presumably, to what was there previously, so that there's sort of no conflict between the.
That's correct, yeah. The proposed solutions were to either make it more contemporary in design or more traditional. So the applicant decided it was preferable for them to go more contemporary. Moldings were removed and additional glazing provided on the side elevation.
Would anyone like to make a proposal whether to approve or refuse?
I'll propose approval.
Is that seconded by anyone? Councillor Reid. Shall we put it to the vote then? All those in favour?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, Mr. Chairman.
Any against?
One against.
Any abstentions? No. Okay. Thank you. Moving on then to application 22/36723/HOU.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is for the erection of a double garage in the northwest corner of the site to be constructed in brickwork to match the boundary walls and roof tiles to match the main dwelling house. Although of the same width and length, the height of the proposal has been reduced, removing the first floor study originally proposed, and later the pitch of the roof was reduced, which also reduced the maximum overall height. This was in response to concerns raised, and most recently, the latest amendment is to remove the four roof lights, two from each roof plane. The site is currently a small grassed area with a tree located close to the boundary wall. The tree will be removed and the boundary wall and gates repositioned. Please note on the final line of page 16 and the top line of page 17, the report refers to the proposed fenestration and installation of floodlights would result in a domesticated appearance. The roof lights have since the report was written been deleted and replaced by two circular windows in the apex of the gable walls. This reduces the domesticated appearance of the garage. The design SPD states that garages should be designed to ensure they do not dominate the property or street scene and should be sympathetic with the scale, form, materials and architectural style of the existing dwelling. In addition, garages should be sited so as to minimise disturbance and overshadowing to a neighbouring property. The location of the garage, which you'll see on the plans in a moment, is the furthest most point of the applicant's curtilage away from neighbouring dwellings, and with its reduced height, it's not considered to appear disproportionate in comparison with the scale of the dwelling house, and it's also considered to be acceptable in terms of amenity. It's recommended the application be approved subject to the four conditions listed in the report. However, an amendment to condition 2, which is on page 19, to refer to plan 2226/01 revision D, and that's the plan that has the omission of the roof lights on it. So just going through the images now. That's the aerial view. You can see the tree in the top left-hand corner of the site. There's a larger tree further south of that. The three photographs we've got, the first one is looking in a northeasterly direction, so you can see the boundary wall, the tree that I mentioned. Image 2, the dwelling house, you can just see to the right of the photograph. Image 2, just a few metres down the driveway, this is looking into the drive of the dwelling, so the garage will be situated behind that boundary wall. the wall would be repositioned this corner of it, and the gates would be positioned a little bit further along, which you'll see on the plan in a moment. And the third view is looking from the driveway out, this time in a northwesterly direction, so you can see the small area of grass and the tree that will be removed. Now that is the plan that had the roof lights on it, so this is the latest plan. The bottom left hand corner, you can see how the garage fits in. You can just about, probably at that distance, make out that the boundary wall literally moves out by probably the width of the wall to accommodate the garage, and the gates get repositioned as well to accommodate that. As I say, Chairman, as amended, the proposals recommended for approval, subject to conditions, with an amendment to condition 2. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We have one public speaker, Rebecca Harrison.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You have 3 minutes and we'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left.
Excuse me, I am the attached and direct neighbour to the property requested and permission. The aspect, unfortunately, you're not showing pictures in context. Is very open to ensure all properties fit in with the farm and also make full advantage of the views. I should only contest the officer's statement, quote, such the proposed garage would not be considered, not appear disproportionate to in comparison to the scale of the main dwelling house, unquote. All residents would have been made aware when purchasing the property that there was a covenant that no additions could be made or no new structures built on their plot. Therefore, we have all built small wooden sheds for storage and maintained open fences and gates to remain in keeping and respecting the character of the rural setting and aspects of views on the hill and our surrounding farmland. We all have a forward-facing outlook with our main structures behind us and in the centre of the development. Any new structure will stand out for all of us on such an elevated and open site. Not least one that is nearly 5 metres high and the only brick structure building other than the current houses that reside there. As a direct neighbour linked to this property, leaving aside the overbearing look of this structure, it would greatly lessen the natural light to my property. Approving this plan could set a precedent that all other 9 residents could build permanent large brick structures proportionate to their houses, which would completely urbanise this setting. I feel that the officer has not considered the impact on the current setting. Quote, the proposed development would clearly be viewable, set behind a low boundary wall. This low boundary wall, which is 1.5 metres high, and its previous works that have been committed and produced by my neighbour, has already lessened and changed the landscape and character of this rural setting.
I feel
this new structure is an accumulative impact to change the character. The sheer scale and prominence of a single-storey, 5-metre brick building will be overbearing and obvious. The proposed plans bring an overload of domestic features which are not in keeping. The report also states, in relation to the installation of roof lights, because I have not been privy to the changed, amended planning, would result in domesticated appearance as a garage. It would not significantly out of place comparison to the rest of the site, which directly contradicts his request to the architect to remove these roof lights. Staff and planning state they aim to protect and enhance the character of the rural area. It seems particularly relevant that policy E2 requires all development in the rural area.
Could you sum up now, please?
To respect and protect the natural landscapes and the built vernacular character of the area. In my view, the size, design and location of the proposed detached garage combine to represent a very and overly domesticated feature in this rural setting, which would permanently harm the character and appearance of this present and unique rural site. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Councillor Beattie, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Chairman. Can I just say, my voice comes and goes because I've got a chest infection, but I've bravely turned up. And also, I would just like to say that I was not aware, I'm sure you'll tell me that I should have been aware, but I was not aware about the change in the proposals about the fenestration and roof lights. So I have included that, but I'll take it out. So I'll start. The planning officer's report describes the site as located within a residential stroke agricultural pocket of land located within the open countryside. This so-called residential agricultural pocket of land is farmed from the edge of Stafford across to Hopton, Salt, Marston and Western villages. Beacon Farm is a typical farmstead conversion within working farmland, and the pictures show that. The proposed garage will be 45 square metres, a 45 square metre building, nearly 5 metres tall. According to the most recent nationally described space standard, the minimum floor area of a new dwelling should be 37 square metres. That's 1/5 smaller than the floor area of this garage. The garage is going to be the size of a small house. There are unintended consequences, and I think the neighbour has mentioned this, there's a precedent at risk of being set. The officer's report states, whilst large, the main dwelling house is significantly larger, well it would be, both in footprint and maximum height. As such, the proposed garage would not appear disproportionate in comparison to the scale of the main dwelling house. Was the planning officer measuring against the whole building, the whole farmhouse, or just the part of the old farmhouse owned by the applicant? That's not clear. Either way, if all the residents in the old farmhouse apply for similar size garages, it would be the equivalent of building a minimum of 4 new houses at Beacon Farm in the open countryside. And is it okay to open the doors to suburbanising this old farmstead settlement by approving an oversized garage, by overlooking its domesticated appearance, windows and so forth, when other residents have been so careful to maintain the Beacon Farm character? All the other owners have been careful to ensure that the integrity of Beacon Farm is maintained within the terms of their covenants. They maintain open fences to enable the outlook to the hillside and surrounding farmland. Small sheds adjoining their properties, not boundary walls. We know that in open countryside, planners must consider the impact of the development on the openness of the landscape and the potential for visual harm. Using the officer's words, the proposed development would be clearly viewable. The report goes on, whilst it's acknowledged that concern was raised, and I asked that question, was the concern raised by officers themselves? That sentence is completely ambiguous. Regarding the loss of the original agricultural character of the site, by the erection of further buildings, is considered that the conversion and subdivision of this previous farmhouse and 4 associated works, that's conversions, over the years has succeeded in eroding much of the existing agrarian character. What does that mean? The site's undeniably rural, you can see from the pictures, with vernacular buildings, and it's surrounded by a working farm. The report asserts that whilst the proposed fenestration and installation of roof lights would result in a domesticated appearance, it's not significantly out of place. That obviously has been a challenge for our officers to deal with the applicant and try and get this enormous building reduced by degrees. And I know it's taken a long time. I congratulate them for what they've done to date. So there are some material considerations for the committee today. The garage is out of scale for a domestic garage. It's incongruous in open countryside. By virtue of its bulk and massing, it would adversely affect the neighbour's residential amenity through loss of daylight, sunlight, and its overbearing presence. The proposal is not acceptable in terms of its design and scale, and it will have an adverse impact on the character and appearance of the surrounding area. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Brewster.
Would anyone like to speak? Councillor Spencer.
It was mentioned by the speaker earlier, there's a covenant of the development. Is that a material consideration for planning? It's not.
No, the covenant's not a planning matter. It's something that a beneficiary of the covenant could enforce, but it's not for the planning authority to do so.
Councillor McNaughton.
Thank you. Can I just have a look at the photograph again from the,
yep.
the front, please?
That's the first one.
Councillor Reid.
The wall that's there, does that require planning permission?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Did the wall that is there require planning permission?
I don't know whether the wall was on the original permission or not. I've not looked back to
It wasn't. It wasn't a applicant has built it.
You can build walls up to a metre in height adjacent to a highway or 2 metres otherwise unless permitted development rights are removed. And again, it may be that permitted development rights were removed from fences, walls and means of enclosure. But that's not something I've looked into because I didn't realise that was an issue.
Councillor Phillips.
I have a few concerns. Obviously, the resident has said that the photographs are not really representative of the site, and the outlook that the neighbours have doesn't give a real indication of the feel of the place. And I feel that if we're looking at it as a whole, it's very difficult for us to say whether it's going to look overbearing, whether it's going to look out of place, when we don't know what it actually looks like as a complete site. I think it's a lot to ask to make a decision on something that we can't really see. I'd rather do a site visit and get a proper idea of the layout and the height of the ground, if that's something that others are open to.
Chairman, as I said, the site, the garage is situated in the northwest corner, literally where the arrow at number one is pointing to. So it's in that corner. We know what the size of it is, and you can see where the other one, three, and four, which the remainder of that farmhouse are in relation to that.
Councillor James.
Two things. While you've got that picture on there, is that the enclosed red, is that just the owner's, that's their property?
Yes.
Three behind it is not their property.
The farmhouse was divided into four.
It was divided into four, right. Okay, well, my concern is the massing in front of this build in this area, and they've got space down the back where they're going to put this garage, wouldn't it? Out of keeping, I think. I think it's in the wrong place.
Councillor Kenny?
Yeah, if we can go to plan one.
Yeah. Well, the difference between plan one and plan two is the roof light, so what you're actually considering is plan two.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the question with regards to the elevations at the top, the dark ones. Is that an indication of the height of the wall? There's various lines coming out on either side of the... Is that an indication of the height of the wall?
Yeah, I think it's... There's a line...
There's a couple of lines, isn't there?
From
the wall.
On either side. So there's a mark here on either side of that gap, and then there as well.
And that's indicating the height of the wall?
Yes.
Okay.
Councillor Spencer.
To me, I agree that the actual plans appear far too domestic, especially if it's being brick built as well, with those windows. I mean, from that side elevation we've seen there, it almost looks like a bungalow. I mean, if the garage wasn't that, I'd expect the pitch to be in the opposite direction. It would be timber clad and would look significantly more in keeping with the farm surroundings. In my opinion, it's not in keeping, it's more urban. And I wonder if it was to go ahead, could the materials be changed and conditions be put on to that?
I think one of the things I just need to draw your attention to is on page 17, the second paragraph down, it refers to, in terms of the 2013 application which was approved, that included three detached garages, one of which was in approximately this location, and those garages were larger than what is being proposed now. Now, clearly, that's 10 years ago, understand that, and there were, you'll see from the planning history, there were three different conversion schemes permitted. The two applications that submitted in 2010 and one in 2013. So I'm not saying you could go back and construct those garages, but what I'm saying is we have granted permission before, which included three sizeable garages.
Councillor Plummer.
Thank you. Could I just confirm, when looking through this, I did miss, or I couldn't find, the actual size references. The height is 5 metres from ground level?
4.9, I think it says in the report, yeah. On page 16, 4.9.
And the floor space is 45 square metres?
It's 7.5, externally it's 7.5 by 6 metres, internally it's 6.9 by 5.4, so the actual floor space is less than that, but by the width of brickwork.
But it's around about that number.
Yeah,
my concern in these cases is always what's highlighted on the conditions for the outstanding. The out building hereby permitted shall not be occupied at any time other than for ancillary use. So the planners presumably thought that they could use this house and build a bungalow and use it as a kitchen. I know we can't consider that now because it's not what we're going to apply for, but I'm always a bit nervous when something is built so big that it could be used as something other than a shed or a cabin.
It's not necessarily thinking what the applicant has in mind or anything like that, because it's outside the settlement boundary, if there was subsequently to be a separate residential use, then that would be, as it stands at the moment, contrary to our policy, hence why we've got the condition on.
Yes, thank you, I understand that, and I just sometimes wonder if somebody's watching these people, because if somebody, they wanted to live in it, who's going to notice apart from those, the neighbours, and they have to come up and say, you have a condition, like they have a covenant, not to build it. Yeah. It just makes me nervous at times.
Sorry, Chairman, could I just have another scroll through the actual three photographs that you took of the site? I do apologise.
Sure. This one is looking in a northeasterly direction. This one is similarly northeasterly direction, but several metres down the road. So you can see in the driveway. And then the third one is looking in a northwesterly direction.
Could I just go back to the previous one?
Sorry?
Could I just go back to the previous photograph?
Image two.
Image two.
Inside. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
changed.
I've got some sympathy with the points that Councillor Phillips was making, in the sense of I would have liked to have seen a photograph that puts the whole site into some sort of context, the garage in some sort of context, because what we're concerned about is the impact of the garage on the reconfiguration of the farmhouse, and we don't really see that in the images that we've got in front of us. I'm not particularly anxious to have a site visit, but I would like to see it in better context.
Councillor Phillips, here.
I'm wondering if we've got an idea of the properties in the back of the photo, what the height of those buildings are in comparison to this garage that's proposed to be built? They're lower.
Councillor James.
Yeah, I think when we look at that picture, there's two cars there. Must be 20 to 30 metres further back from where this original garage wants to be placed. Surely they could have put the garage further back, it would be more in line with keeping with the whole property, instead of where it is, which is going to be so protruding to everybody passing and the local area.
I think if the garage was further back where you're suggesting, it would be much closer to the neighbouring dwelling.
I understand that. But that must be the people who are living in the house, isn't it?
But other people are expressing concerns about the impact or loss of light on a neighbouring property. So moving it nearer to the property isn't going to help that issue.
No.
Councillor Phillips,
I just need to say I've got some real concerns over this. If this is this building is going to be higher than the neighbouring bungalows, completely different
how
material.
How do you know it's higher than those? Because I'm just looking in the background, they've got roof lights and the one behind the car's got roof lights in it. So so it's got some accommodation in the roof space, so it's got to be higher than 4.9 metres, otherwise you wouldn't be able to stand up.
They're barn conversions, so they're the height of average small barn conversion. And I believe that they're lower than this building.
I find it very increasingly difficult as we progress with this application to get a real understanding of the way that this is going to impact people without doing a site visit. I would really like to propose that we do one. I think it would be beneficial to everybody here to be able to have a better perspective of the area and the impact that this potential build could have.
Councillor James.
I'd like to second that, because I think we've been totally confused here. The land behind that wall, we don't know the height of it, do we, really? Is it the same height as the drive-in? No. I don't think it is. I think it looked higher. Does this garage go further than that wall?
You can see there that the grass is higher than the base of the wall, yes.
Yeah. Yes. I think we should go out and look at this side.
Councillor Spencer, did you want to come back?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm looking at Google Maps again. I think you can see from looking at the image, such as Google Maps, which unfortunately didn't appear down here, the sort of setting of the area. And there doesn't appear to be any other garages across any of the development. There's a shed, I think, in the bottom corner of one of them. So this would be setting the precedent, I think. And being in the far corner, to me, it is incongruous to the development as well. Step up with that design, certainly, on my, that's my consideration.
Councillor We've got a proposal and a seconder for a site visit. Should we take a vote on that first, please? Those in favour?
1, 2, 3, Mr. Chairman.
Against?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 against.
Yeah, well, it looks like we're going to have to come to a decision then without the site visit. Councillor Cross?
I'd like to propose we refuse this application because the proposed design is out of scale. It'll have an adverse effect on the character of the airport and of the area, and an adverse effect on the amenity of the residents.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All those.
Sorry, did you get the down?
Yeah. Those in favour of refusal?
Sorry,
you were just summing up the reasons.
So, refuse on the grounds it's out of scale, adverse effect on the area and the amenity of residents.
Is that okay?
Adverse effect on the amenity of the residents, adverse effect on the character of the area, and it's out of scale with the surrounds.
Character of the area.
Overbearing character.
Shall we take a vote on that then? All those in favour of refusal?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Mr. Chairman.
Not you, one of you, sir. Thank you. So we now move on.
Page 21, Mr. Chairman.
We now move on to planning appeal.
Let the public lead the
room. We have four appeals. Does anyone wish to comment on any of them or ask questions? No?
Apart from, I'm pleased to see that the application for expenses was refused along with the application.
Right then, the final item on the agenda is the draft planning application validation criteria. That's only on the agenda to approve it going out for consultation. Does anyone have any comments about it?
I'm just going to ask Mr. Chairman, so all members of the council will get to see it.
Would you like to explain what it is?
Yeah, John.
So, as per your agenda, the council needs to adopt a validation criteria every 2 years. The current criteria was adopted in 2021. But it's an important document for development management. It enables the validation team to request documents which the case officer will require in order to properly assess an application. And requesting these at validation stage can reduce delays and issues during consideration. So the draft criteria is classed as a new document. It's been broadly rewritten to include a few additional validation requirements where there's policy support for that, and to offer a bit more clarity on what and when required. There is a need to consult with service users and stakeholders, and then any representations received during a consultation period of 8 weeks would be taken into account. And a finalised document would be presented to the planning committee again to seek a resolution to then adopt it. So the recommendation of the committee today is to agree to go out to consultation on the draft document.
Kenny?
Yeah, I'd like to propose that the document goes out for consultation.
Can I just have an indication of the timescale that you've got in mind? You said 8 weeks for the whole process from now.
8 weeks consultation process.
And then will it end up with it as in full council for approval? Or
no, it comes back here.
To be approved by the planning committee?
Yes.
Councillor Phillips?
Well, the specific changes that have been made, are there any major changes here that we should know about compared to last time?
Nothing significant's been taken out. There are additional points. So generally, these are issues where case officers have been requesting certain documents and the policy requirements when they're dealing with an application that we weren't able to request them at validation stage. So
this during the chairman. So these the changes are going to help our officers to be able to progress.
Yeah. So additional things, biodiversity net gain when the legislation comes through. That's point four in the local checklist. Construction transport management plan, which is a document the highway authority are asking for regularly. Joinery details, garden areas plans for major residential developments. They're all new in this to try and assist that assessment process.
Okay,
through
you, Chairman. So there's a bit of forward planning going into this then. Anything that's going to help our officers do their job more efficiently and smoothly is good for me.
Just a bit more on the biodiversity net gain. Obviously, the date's to be confirmed yet, and it's still going through the process. As soon as that is approved, will this be updated immediately, or will there be a timeline in place?
It's expected to be later this year that the legislation comes through. If that's during the consultation period, we can obviously get that in the document to go to come back to committee. If that's not resolved in legislation before then, I believe the intention is to leave a placeholder for it to introduce it as soon as that legislation is. Has come forward.
What's as soon as? Sorry to push.
I believe the anticipation is by October, November this year.
November, I believe.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, every local authority is going through this process at the moment.
Not necessarily at the moment, no. It would depend when they adopted their current or previous, but they need to be done every 2 years.
Right, I understand.
I assume this will go before the Planning and Regeneration Scrutiny Committee, because recently they've been discussing exactly validations was one of the topics at their recent meeting.
I don't think it's been to Scrutiny Committee before. We do this every 2 years. I don't remember it being.
No, it's just
before.
With validation being on my mind, because as you're aware, it was discussed some length at last Thursday's.
I know exactly what you're saying, but I don't think scrutiny of this document is not quite the same thing. This is something, and
that's going to be an aid to your planners, I realise that, and fully support that.
Yeah.
It's just I feel that committee perhaps should have.
You're just showing the linkage, I understand.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
We've had a proposal to approve it going to consultation. Have we got a seconder for that?
Yes.
Oh, wasn't I'm sorry. All those in favour?
Unanimous, Mr. Chair.
Unanimous.
Okay. Can I ask a member to move on? Did Ed ever hand in this?
Yeah,
I just heard your name mentioned.
No, I've affected.
You couldn't have any sleep, could you, Roger?
No.
Well, that brings the meeting to a close. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you.